Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Folks, I am recording from the lovely, warm, and sunny state of Florida here in Fort Lauderdale, where today the weather was fantastic. I know some of you still dealing with some cold, some snow. Sorry for you. But there's plenty of room down here in South Florida. If you want to come visit, say hello. Visit the South Florida Podnuts studio or something like that. So, folks, today is Monday, March 25th. I have a pretty good show for you today. Sitting in the green room is a guest that I think you all are going to love, Eric Thomas, the CEO of Freedom Voice, that company that I started working with in doing voice over IP. He will join us in just a little bit. And I think it's going to be a fantastic interview with him. So, of course, let me first start off with taking care of some of the announcements. And as per usual, we're going to start off with the conference that I am assisting with on the planning committee, the TechCon Unplugged 2019. And if you go to the website, it's going to say the 2019 annual TechCon Unplugged. It is happening September 20th. Through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The location is going to be the Great Holiday Inn, Grand Rapids Airport. If you go to the website, TechCon Unplugged, you'll get all the information you'll need there, hotel, airfare, with discount codes. Be sure to purchase your ticket. $199 gets you an all-in price. Food, meals, snacks, dinner at David Buster's, and of course, all of the great IT content that we're going to be providing there. Had another committee meeting last night, and we've got some good things planned, folks. We're going to have some pretty in-depth networking, hands-on type workshops there. And you will also see some of the additional sponsors we've got on there. So the show is shaping up to be pretty good. Again, that is September 20th through the 22nd. TechCon Unplugged, head on over to the website and get your tickets there. So folks, another thing that I want to do is do a very special shout out. There is going to be a very special link in the show notes tonight that is going to take you to a GoFundMe page. I'm not sure if all of you have heard, but one of the I want to call him a founding member of the Podnuts Network, Eric Ardini. You have heard him on many of the great shows on the Podnuts Network. So in February, Eric was diagnosed with a rare form of a primary liver cancer. It is said to be terminal. And Door to Door asked me to make sure that I mention this, folks. The GoFundMe page is basically asking for whatever help you can provide so that all of the medical bills, household bills, everything can be taken care of so that he and his family can focus on treatment and spending the rest of whatever time is left to basically spend time together. As you've heard me on the show, family first. So I am asking that the listeners of this show, the Podnuts community, please go to the FundMe page and assist in any way that you can. And let's help Eric out in this time. I do know, and I have not gotten an update, I did exchange emails with Eric. He was having an infusion of a drug today that basically should work to help kill the tumors that he's got going. I will get an update from that soon. I'm sure that either Door or somebody else, if they find out before I'm able to report on my next show, that we will give you an update and let you know how Eric is doing. So folks, you will find that in the show note. Basically, if you go to GoFundMe and just look up Eric Ardini, the site is Help Eric Ardini and Family. So go to that site, give whatever you can, help Eric out. He has been so instrumental in helping to build this network. Basically allowed people like me to sit in and do what I do. So that is that. And before we go into our interview portion with Mr. Thomas, I do want to acknowledge a sponsor that we have, Calyptic Security. Folks, you have heard us talk about them. They make network security easy for your IT business. The Access Enforcer Firewall, only thing that they do, can be set up in minutes and protect your clients from hackers and malware. And of course, the company Calyptic, if you are tired of being ignored by your firewall vendor, then you've got to try Calyptic Security. They sell one product, the Access Enforcer UTM Firewall, full-featured security device. If you're used to dealing with other vendors, you'll be amazed at the service at Calyptic. You can sign up as a partner for free. Every partner gets free training, free tech support from US-based engineers. And folks, the tech support is fantastic. You just simply call. They answer the phone. They solve your problem. Probably one of the best support companies that you can find out there. The partner program is flexible. You can pay for service by the month, or you can pay by the year. You can move firewalls from one site to another. And you can trust that your customers are never going to find a price for a Calyptic firewall out on the internet. They only sell through IT shops like ours. So folks, if you want to save hours of time, go over to calyptics.com/pod. That is going to be a special for any of the listeners where you can sign up for a demo and save $100 on your first order. That's right, folks. One Benny for going to calyptics.com/pod, P-O-D, to save yourselves $100. Now, another thing that I need to mention is that they have the latest firmware, which adds VLAN support and more. So you can now, within the Access Enforcer, manage VLANs. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there, drag and drop port forwarding, configuration checks. I'm going to put a link in the show note for that announcement. It will list all of the new things on there. So be sure to check out Calyptic Security, folks, and I'll have both of those links in the show note. And I'm going to actually share a quick story since we mentioned VLAN. So I had a customer that decided to do a little tech work on their own. And if I could slap their hands with a Catholic ruler, I would have, but I didn't. They just basically assumed that no big deal, we'll just reset the switch and all will be good. Well, folks, as you know, I put managed switches in all my clients. In this particular client, we had the managed switch set up with VLANs specifically for the wireless portion of their network. So this is a customer that has, yes, a private network where they can do all of their stuff inside of their own network. They've got the guest network for their customers. We actually had a third network for media. So we've got some boards where they do announcements and product demos and things like that. And we actually just added a fourth wireless network for a special purpose that they wanted. For some reason, they thought stuff wasn't working, so they would just simply reset the switch. Of course, they lost all of their VLANs. So in my rush to get over there, I did not grab my documentation. And it was taking me way too long to try to remote back into my office, find the stuff. But what I did have with me, most of you are going to know what I'm going to say. I had with me my Fluke OneTouch network analyzer. And folks, I'm going to be demoing this at the upcoming TechCon. And I'm going to show you one of the features that I love. With the latest software that NetScout put on the OneTouch, I can look into switches and I can see which ports have which VLANs active on them. However, in this case, because they had reset it, VLANs were not active. But what I could do with the OneTouch was do a path analysis to see how I can get to each device. So instead of tagging each and every port on the switch with all the VLANs, I only needed to tag the ports where I knew that the device was active. So I would do a path analysis into the switch and out of the switch, and I would only have to tag those two ports with the VLAN for whatever VLANs were associated with that wireless access point. So that is a great feature that comes on the One Touch. One of the reasons I would recommend that you get it if you can afford it. You don't have to have the big daddy boy like I have, but there are some that start at a very reasonable price. I believe it's the 1000 series that you will still get that capability to do some network discovery. And basically, if you really want to secure your network and only tag certain ports for VLANs, you can do that. And it only takes minutes with the One Touch. So just wanted to get that story out there since we mentioned VLAN through Calyptics. I can do VLANing through my One Touch, and you can be great at network security. All right, that is going to do it. Let's go ahead and bring on our guest. I'm going to bring him out of the green room. And as I mentioned, Eric Thomas, who I know that I said was the CEO of Freedom Voice. He is actually, because Freedom Voice got purchased by GoDaddy, is the vice president of business development and reseller channel. Eric, that sounds like a fancy title. does it really describe what you do?
Well, I mean, the reality is most of what I do is reseller channel. You know, looking after the channel and looking after the partners and, you know, trying to help, you know, take us into the future.
All right. So Freedom Voice is a company that you started 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I want to take a little historical look, but before we do that, let's talk about just real quick. Freedom Voice is one of the big voice over IP providers out there, huge in the channel. I actually just started with you guys a few months ago, so I got sold on the concept. So tell us just real quick who Freedom Voice is really.
I think at the heart of it, you know, Freedom Voice is a company that, you know, wants to help other companies start, run, and grow, right? I mean, that's what we got founded on, you know, back in the day when we started, you know, had to do with the fact that, you know, I was running another company and had experience where, you know, I was a one man band. Would go into labs and this, that, and the other, and, you know, was selling scientific equipment. You know, and I think I was doing a good job, and I get home and I'd hear, you know, my customer's message on the answer machine. I thought, oh, that's painful. So then, you know, I had the opportunity to start Freedom Voice on the basis of, like, how do we fix that? How do we, like, when a company is just getting going, how do we give them a leg up? And, you know, it expanded into, and, you know, how else can we help a company start, run, and grow? And, you know, we do that through three different products. One's the virtual office product, which is a telephone number, goes to a recording main menu that offers extensions, this, that, and the other. Sounds like professional established company. And, you know, then sends the calls to whatever device you happen to be on. And then we have a cloud phone product, which is the same thing as cloud number, but has the desk phone added to it. And then we have the cloud PBX product, which we sell through the channel, which is, you know, taking that one step further and selling, you know, to, you know, smaller companies, 5+ individuals, where they're replacing their phone system with something that's, you know, a really good, simple, reliable phone system. So at the heart of it, you know, trying to do the right thing, helping companies start, run, and grow.
Okay. So you mentioned you had started another company before, and I did a little bit of, I tried to do a deep dive on that, but there really isn't much info.
Yeah.
But the company you started really had nothing to do with what you're doing now. And the name of it was just what B/T SciTech?
Yeah. You don't like the name?
That doesn't matter whether I like it. Was it profitable?
Yeah, it actually was okay. I mean, it was one of those things that, you know, I knew I wanted to start a company. And at the time I was working as an export manager for a company called Stratagene, which was, you know, laboratory supplies, you know, reagents, equipment, chemicals, whatever it happens to be. And, that just seemed like, okay, well, you know, I think I can do something similar, this, that, and the other. So quit my job and, started doing that. You know, my background which will make perfect sense why I started a telecom company, is in molecular biology, right?
Oh, so, yeah, perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So started BT SciTech and off we went.
Okay. So I know that one of the biggest challenges that you ran into, and it was that, you know, you said the voicemail, people would leave you voicemails, and because you were out and about so much, people couldn't reach you. So when you started,
well, this was back in 96, uh-huh, right?
Yeah.
Where voicemail meant answering machine.
Of course. I think I still had a beeper in 96.
Yeah, pager. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was a thing.
So that's what prompted you to kind of start Freedom Voice with the, now, was it just the virtual numbers at first?
Yeah. I mean, so we started with just the virtual numbers. You know, like I said, I had many painful experiences where, you know, I really had to fight the uphill battle of, you know, look, you know, are you guys going to be around in 2 years and this, that, and the other, when I'm selling equipment to make sure that I could honor the warranty and this, that, and the other. And, you know, so, you know, it was sort of a natural progression of, you know, how do we solve that problem? And back in 96, the only way you could solve it was, you didn't have VoIP really coming into play, because back then the networks, you know, the broadband wasn't that well established. It was dial up and this, that, and the other.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of VoIP out there. Yeah. So the answer was, you know, had T1 lines coming into computer telephony equipment. You know, that's literally how we started, is we ended up with, you know, an office is probably like 15 foot by 15 foot in a, you know, executive suites. Part of the office was the, you know, the rack with all the equipment in it, which wasn't a lot of equipment, but it was computer telephony with some T1 lines coming into it.
Right.
And we, you know, created the software so that you could land calls and, you know, basically deliver the same services that, you know, Fortune 500 company, you know, could get through buying a big PBX, but on a rental basis, which was completely new.
Right.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a lot of fun, being cramped in a room with all your server equipment right on top of you. And of course, 15 by 15, I mean, that's a good size room, but now, was this in California?
It was in California, down in Sorrento Valley, and
there was
four other companies in that same room with me, but we weren't going to mention that.
So it was hot in that room, and all I can imagine all those fans and noise, and that had to be fun. Those were the good old days, weren't they?
They were.
I remember.
But you know, it's just what you do. Like when, you know, I'm sure a lot of listeners had to do the same sort of thing. It's like, hey, I want to start my own company. What do I do?
Yeah,
and you just start putting the bits together.
Yeah, that's what I did. I had my desk. I had whatever computer equipment I can put together in my room. I had all my inventory was in, you know, actually at the time, this is going to sound horrible. So I had a one bedroom apartment. So I actually dedicated half of my closet to my computer stuff and took clothes and I put the clothes I wasn't going to wear for that season and put them in storage so I could have my computer stuff in there. Now, granted, I lived in Florida, like you lived in California. I didn't have a ton of clothes, so I didn't have like winter clothes to put away, but I had, you know, a jacket, a sweater, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember sharing.
Oh, that's cool.
Sharing a lot of that space. Now, you guys were originally compared to, I shouldn't say originally, I don't know if Grasshopper was around as long, but Grasshopper you've been compared to as them. But I see Grasshopper as kind of like a residential and really, really small business. I don't see them kind of going after some of the business customers that I know that we can go after. So,
yeah.
To me, that seemed pretty wrong that you were being compared to them. So, how does that happen?
Yeah, and I don't know that they've got a, you know, a, sort of a SIP phone or a hosted PBX solution. I think it's all virtual office kind of stuff.
Right.
But I haven't like paid attention to them recently, so I don't know. I know they're good at marketing.
Yep.
But, you know.
I can't get away from that word marketing. Wow. That's an inside joke. The community will love it. So now when I heard of you guys, and I'll be honest, I first needed to put a disclaimer on that I avoided voice over IP for years. I was one of those techs that, listen, I'll take care of the computers, somebody else take care of the phones. So it wasn't like I was out looking around for VoIP providers, but I heard about you guys probably 2 to 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And of course it was only within the channel is what, you know, I'm going to say. So your decision to have a focus purely on partners, how did that come about?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we actually started selling direct, right? Mm-hmm. That was when, so it was 2007 that we started selling. And our first go was, you know, we'd put it up on the website, people would buy the service, they would self-install. Now I'd had some challenges, right? Because, you know, the person self-installing didn't understand quality of service or traffic shaping or maybe any of the things they needed to know to make it go well, you know, especially back in 2007 where the amount of broadband, you know, wasn't that broad. so it was interesting. And then we started thinking about like a channel partners because, you know, somebody who's local, who's tech savvy could help with that kind of stuff. And so we started building a channel. And of course, the feedback that we immediately got from the channel was, hey, why are you selling against me?
Right.
And so, yeah. So, you know, I think it was a combination of, you know, our goal is to help companies start, run, and grow, and that includes the partners. We always try to do the right thing. And it just seemed odd to be, you know, not aligned with the folks that we're trying to work with.
Right.
You know, so we just decided that to go all in, let's do it right.
Well, that's one of the things that I appreciate and that I've always looked for in my partners is that I don't want to have to be selling against the person I'm buying from. So.
Yeah, no, fair. I agree.
All right. And so another thing that I loved when I got started and Paul Mendiola, my sales rep, actually, reminded, I don't know how I missed it to begin with, and some people had probably said it, but the fact that you have a partner-only helpline, separate from where, you know, we can have our customers call in if we want, but the fact that we can call in and get to a dedicated support team, when did that start for you guys? Or was that part of your program all along?
No, it wasn't part of the program all along. It was, we've had different sort of permutations of it, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think what drove it was, you know, a realization that partners, when they are at a customer, their meter's ticking, you know,
right,
and they're burning dollars unless they're getting help and getting the thing done. And, you know, so that was feedback that we got that, you know, hey, we need to be able to get to somebody. And so we just went about trying to be a good partner. How do you solve that problem? And the only way that we could think to do it back in the day was just dedicated partner support. And we just stuck with that because it works well. I mean, it's expensive because we've got guys here sat here in San Diego that aren't always on the phone, you know, necessarily doing stuff. But, you know, it works really well from the partner perspective that, you know, hey, I'm with a customer, you know, we're doing the install and I had this question. Can you help me? You know, whatever it happens to be. Just having that help right then is super good. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I love, having that instant access to support, because I don't think I've ever called in and gotten a busy signal.
Good. And we've done well.
And my first customer that I switched over, one of the things that they said to me right off the bat is when they called in, because in the beginning, I try to take care of all the stuff up front, but then I get to a point where I'm like, okay, you know what? That's a simple thing. You can go ahead and call. You don't have to call me for that.
Sure.
And the office manager called me back and she said, you know, I am so glad you switched us from that other company, because not only did I not have to wait 2 hours to get through an issue and get it resolved. I got somebody who, well, I don't want to be offensive, but they were like, I got somebody who spoke English, was in this country, and could help me right away.
Yeah.
Because other and companies, cares.
I mean, right. I think that's the other thing. It's like, our goal when we talk to somebody is like, you know, is to solve the problem, you know, whereas I think a lot of places that you call, their goal is to close the ticket, you know, right. And it's just, you know, and it's interesting because like GoDaddy as a whole is the same, you know, we as a large company of 8,000 people, what we think about is when somebody calls us, take care of business, get the thing done right.
Funny you mentioned GoDaddy. Because so there is it's probably an old stigma.
Yeah.
But it still permeates our community a little bit, mainly the smaller techs, I think, because we used to call them no daddy because they were hard to work with from a partner perspective. Great for the customer, great with marketing. So they purchased you guys. When was that? 2000?
It was May 17th of 2016.
2016.
Not that I remember the day.
No. Now, they've been a good company for me lately, so I'm not stuck on that. But I know that there had to be a little bit of pushback when you got purchased by GoDaddy. Did you find that to be the case? And if so, how did you combat that?
I don't know. I mean, I get it. I think I know before the deal was done and we started sort of talking to partners about it that I was wondering how they were going to react. But I think, you know, we have a long history of always doing what we say we're going to do.
Right.
And, you know, I think that kind of trust relationship does you well in that kind of circumstance where you can say, you know, look, I've vetted this company. They have good intentions. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to look after you. For you guys, nothing's going to change. If anything changes, it's going to be for the better. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think the people that were concerned, you know, just leaned on the fact that I believed that it was going to be for the better. And so I think they just moved forward with it.
All right. And I will say that it's been good for me. So no troubles there. No troubles there at all. Now that's part of, so you guys were known as having a customer first culture.
Yeah.
So I have to assume that you said nothing was going to change. So that has carried over into the GoDaddy purchase. And from the Freedom Voice perspective, that seems to have stayed intact. So for the listeners out there, I don't know if that's not a, you know, an internal code phrase or whatever, but the customer first culture, can you describe that for the listeners?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different ways. Like one of the ways, well, from starting a company perspective, like from that perspective, there's an article in Harvard Business Review that talks about what are the things you really need to do if you're going to be successful long term as a company. One of them is look after your finances, right? You know, spend less than you make. The other one is look after the customers. And that's not where we kind of got this customer first attitude from, but it's interesting that it actually is, you know, a leading indicator of long-term success. You know, so I think people sometimes get away from that where they think short term and they do what is best transactionally and get away from the fact that you got to think about the long term. You got to think about doing what's right, because at the end of the day, you do what's right and people will love you. And so customer first means that, you know, in a transaction, the thing I'm concerned about is making sure the customer is treated fairly. And even that their perception is they were treated fairly, right? So one example is we had this weird situation. I've forgotten the details of it, but it ended up being somebody had pulled numbers away from us, you know, because we have hundreds of thousands of numbers.
Right.
And the gaining telco didn't notify us of the change. So we lost numbers, didn't know it. I think at the time, but they didn't take them down from service. right? So they actually worked. So our testing showed that they were on us. We had no indication that they weren't on us, and we sold them. Now, at some point, those numbers went up in use with the new carrier, and the people that had the numbers and were out there advertising lost service.
Oh.
Yeah. And there was no way for us to get the numbers back, even though we could show that they were in service with a customer. There's more details in it, but that's the short of the story. At the end of the day, you know, I think a lot of companies have been like, oh, hey, it says in our terms and conditions, we don't have any responsibility here. But that isn't the right thing to do. You know, we've got a, you know, this plan, we were probably like a $10 million a year company at the time. You're talking to a customer who's got their, you know, their last $4,000 in an advertisement somewhere, and it's going nowhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so you got to look after. So we actually, we ponied the bill for any of the expenses that were just a waste of money because the number was going the wrong place. Mm. And so we just did everything we could to look after the customers. Didn't mean the customers were necessarily happy with us in the end, but, you know, I think some were, you know, impressed that we did the right thing. But, you know, it's pretty painful when your service goes down.
So that was the situation.
But we did the right thing.
Right. So you couldn't get the numbers back. You had to basically eat the cost of them getting the new numbers. Did you compensate them for like
everything?
Everything.
Yeah, cards, whatever, you know, whatever impact we literally said, hey, we want to make you whole. What do we need to do?
So if they had to change their business cards and their advertising and all of that, you paid for all of that?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's that. I mean, that's an extreme case. You know, and it was that something that happened once, you know, in our existence. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, you got to look after the customer.
Well, I got to say this, that for everybody listening, a huge business lesson there. And because I'm sure, yes, there were probably some people that were still upset regardless of what you did. And that's always going to be the case. There's going to be that, you know, customer or two that you just can never please them. But I've got to imagine that the bulk of your customers stayed with you, you know, because of that. And after that, probably didn't consider leaving, even if there may have been, you know, what could have been, you know, greener pastures, because they remember what you did for
them. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, from a selfish perspective, on average, what you do is build loyalty. Transactionally, for those transactions, they'd have to have the business for a few hundred years for us to break even. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think you have to have principles on what you operate on, and those should drive your actions.
Yeah, I don't know if I could say I've had anything close to that, but I know I've eaten deals, and I've, you know, not charged customers for things that, you know, if they're my fault, obviously I'm going to take the hit for that. And I've done some things that they weren't my fault, but it wasn't the customer's fault either. And I've done that for them. And now in my case, it actually, you know, worked out most of the time. I did lose one customer over a stupid little thing, but every other customer, I've had customers 4 years, and most of my customers have been with me 10 years plus. And some of them are at the point where they won't consider going to another tech, you know, even if they're bigger, better, or whatever, because they know that I'm going to treat them right. And so
they know you care, and they know you've got their back. So
All right. So let's talk about transitioning that to the partner programs, because one of the reasons that I actually went with Freedom Voice was because of what I thought was a much more complete partner program. You still had the two options. So there can be, you've got the affiliate deal, and then you've got the full partner deal, which I don't really know the difference. So either way, I make money. So, so from the partner programs, can you describe the opportunities there for the partners?
Yeah. Well, I guess some of the pieces that are interesting is the, you know, the idea was we wanted to make it simple to sell, simple to install, you know, phone system replacement that adds value to, you know, your IT professional or MSP service stack, right? It's something that you can add to what you do because you're talking to the same kind of customer, right? You're taking care of their network anyway. You know, you're making sure it's QoS and you may be doing traffic shaping and this, that, and the other. And so it's kind of like, why you should kind of get paid for that. You know, and so, you know, we offer, you know, a good commission structure on a really good value phone system that's reliable. And, you know, the phones are included. So it's a really good value for the customer. So you're doing well by your customer. You're making good money. And we're making it as small of a footprint in terms of, you know, cost to you as possible. That's how I would describe the program, because those are the things we focus on.
Okay. And you've got the two models where if I want to basically give you the support, I get a little bit of percentage. But if I want to take on the bulk of the first line support, I get a little more percentage. And I do like that.
Yeah.
Both are still healthy percentages.
Yeah, that's pretty much what everybody does.
Still healthy percentages, even if I pass it off to you. So I like that. And your site even talks about a free money program, which, so my customer didn't believe me the first time. And I don't know if you're still doing this, but it's on your webpage, so I'm going to say it, where all I had to do was tell the customer, you know, give me your bill, let me send it in, and you're going to get a gift card, whether anything happens or not.
Yeah. No, we do that. And I like the name, free money. it's part of a, like a whole sort of sales incentive package that just we noticed along the way that customers want something overt to focus on first before they actually get into the nitty gritty of, well, this is really what I want a phone system to do. And it turns out the most overt thing you can do is focus on the cost. And so for most customers, if we get a phone bill, we can get back to them and say, well, I can save you X per month. And usually it's substantial. And then it's a nice conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And so we give them, well, I say we give them, but actually the way we do it is we give the partner the gift card, which they then hand out. So we are trying to usurp the relationship. We're trying to support the relationship the partner has with the customer. So the partner gets a gift card, they give it out for phone bill and for going to a demo.
Right.
Yeah. Now, on the other side of it, the partner gets, and I've forgotten the details of it because I'm not the guy that talks about it all the time, but the partner gets, you know, gift cards for, the you know, getting a customer to the demo and, you know, those sorts of things. So the whole kind of sales process is supported around this, you know, the SPIF program. And the really fun thing is that we do, because the other thing we try to do with the whole partner program is to make it fun. And so we tie all that together with a raffle that we do roughly twice a year. So as you go through the program, every time you go through, you get a ticket that gets entered into a raffle. And then we do things like we did a private tour of Disneyland. Then this last time we did a private tour of SeaWorld, which was super fun. And then, you know, I think we're thinking this next time to do Catalina, though we haven't decided what the next program is yet.
All right.
Yep,
I missed out on that. I had a couple of tickets that did not go into last year's drawing, so I should have been there. Should have been in California.
Next time.
All right. Are you ready for a couple of tough questions?
Sure. Okay.
So one of the questions that I got from some listeners when I sent out some prep questions in terms of what to ask. So I knew that when I first got involved and I had to do my first presentation, one of the things that at first was tough to explain, even though I did have a flyer from you describing it, was the pricing structure, because most customers are used to seeing, you know, $19.99 per line per month, or $39.99 per line per month. But Freedom Voice, there's a price per phone and then a price per trunk, which once you run, you know, once you run the numbers and, you know, it kind of all works out and it's still less than a lot of the per phone charges. But I guess one of the questions is, will you ever have a per phone or per user charge to make it super simple?
Yeah, I get it for the simplicity in terms of, you know, when you're talking to a customer, this, that, and the other. So where that came about from was there's so many different types of customers back in the day when we were setting up the program. Mm-hmm. And some of them were call centers where they're just hammering the phone. So everybody who had a phone was on it constantly. And some of them were like a church where maybe there's a couple people, or a school where there's a couple people taking calls. And the rest of the time, the phones just sat there.
Right.
So we try to make a program where it just automatically healed itself according to, you know, what is the right kind of usage, you know? And, you know, so somebody who's running a church or a school or something where that most of the phones are low usage are not paying nearly what somebody who's, you know, a call center that's using the phones all the time. And that's why the model is set up that way. The way we try to make it easy to present to customers is we've got this quote tool where you just go throw in all the parameters of what you think is right. And our, you know, our sales, you know, our account reps will run through and help you do that. But at the end of the day, then you just have the quote that basically shows, you know, hey, you've got 10 phones and here's your total for what it'll be for the 10 phones.
Okay. I mean, yeah. It didn't stop me from selling, but I know people keep asking because that's what they see everywhere. And they just assume everybody's going to sell the same way. But once I explain to them, look, you can add trunks if your usage goes up, or you can lower trunks if your usage go down. None of those other companies can do that. So
yeah,
they were happy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like the complexity. I like the fairness of it. So I hear what you're saying.
All right. And I already asked you the question about GoDaddy, so you can wipe your forehead on that one. All right. So we've talked a little bit about the history. We've talked about the program. Anything exciting coming down the pike that we can be looking forward to?
Yeah, the thing that I can tell you what excites me. the first one is texting, which we are in the process of coding. It's I don't want to give you a date because in development those always go horribly wrong, but soon. We're going to have that available. So that's exciting.
So I think it's just more and more. So is this where customers can text in to a main phone line or you can text
out? Exactly. Both.
Okay.
So the idea is that it text enables the company number.
Okay.
Right. So yeah. So you can get text in, you can send text out. And first deployment is going to be on the mobile app that we've got. Mm-hmm. There'll now be a texting tab and, you know, you'll be able to see the text coming in and send it out.
Okay.
And respond to them.
All right. Yeah. So I can't tell my customers, no, you can't text me. That's a landline anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality is I think something like 70-odd% of customers want to communicate with companies through text. Mm-hmm. You know, your natural inclination is, I can't text them as a company. You know, this, that, and the other, right? So we're enabling that. And it's interesting that probably half the companies out there now have some way of, you know, communicating via text. So there's the market need. We're trying to get, you know, respond to the need that's in the marketplace.
All right. So texting. All right. That's one of the things. What else you got coming down the road?
Well, the other one is a little bit more iffy at this point.
Okay.
We're not sure if we're going to be able to solve this, but we've got a research project trying to be able to deliver BLF, you know, busy landfill, because a lot of our customers are smallish customers, mm-hmm. and they're so used to being able to say, you know, hey, Bob, pick up line two. You know, and anybody that's, you know, sort of familiar with how these phone systems work now, that seems kind of antiquated, but people like it. So we're trying to do it. And so we're working with, you know, with Polycom to see if we can get that done. And we're hopeful. All the news is looking good so far. So you know, fingers crossed.
I do have one customer that hopes you get that. It was a small law firm where they did have it on their previous phones. And that was the one thing. We thought we had covered all the bases. We went through every demo. I even brought my phone out to show them, and we went through stuff. And it was like a week, well, less than a week after they got installed in their new system. They had moved offices. And then all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, why can't I see if my attorney is on the phone or not? And I was like,
Yeah.
So I do have somebody looking very forward to that if you get that working.
Now, there you go. Good.
So, all right. So if you were following along with me on your pre-show outline, I've gone over all the stuff that I said I would go over.
Ah, okay. Well, lovely.
So
you've done well.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy outline, and you answered all the questions. So is there anything that I did not touch on or did not ask you that you think should really get out in the airwaves for the listeners?
Yeah, I'll give you one sort of piece of advice for the listeners. So I can't remember when it was. It had to be like 15 years ago. Somebody gave me some advice about, you know, hey, you know why you know the lyrics of so many different songs? And the answer was because on the way to work and on the way back, you're listening to music, you know, you're listening to your songs on your car radio. And they said, what if you could turn that into, you know, hey, listen to something that's going to help you, right? In your career, in your personal life, and this, that, and the other. So I took to listening to things like Tony Robbins on the way to work. You know, back in the day, it was tapes. Yes. We moved on to that. We moved on from that. And, you know, so I listened to things like Happiness Advantage by Sean Acor, which is all about, you know, how to create a state of being so much more efficient because you change your state from defensive to offensive to like to happy and things like that. And just the fact that it plays over and over again gets it so ingrained into the way you think that you have it top of mind for when you need it. And so if you can, you know, one piece of advice for people, take advantage of that time because it's so useful in just changing, you know, the messages and the tapes that roll through your head.
All right. I think that's a very good tip. I think the people that are listening to this and other podcasts are those types of people where they've stopped listening to, you know, mundane music all the time, or, you know, turn off the TV every now and then because, you know, how many times can you watch Seinfeld? that is a very good tip. And I'm actually going to look up the Happiness Adventure?
Oh, the Happiness Advantage. Happiness Advantage. Yeah, really good book.
By Sean Acor. All right, folks, if I find that, I will put that in the show note, and we will say thank you to Eric Thomas. So, Eric, thank you very much for being on the show. I also want to thank you for putting together a very partner-centric company. I think that anybody that has been involved in our little community, when I talk about our podcasting group and the listeners, you've got folks out there like Jason Miller, who have been huge advocates. And if he gets to go to another trip next year, I am gonna call Fix. So, but I mean, I think it made it very comfortable for me to actually join the VoIP community. Working with Freedom Voice and having some stuff taken care of for me, having a process that was easy to walk through, easy to sell. My customers so far are happy, and that makes me happy.
Yeah. And that's what we specialize in, is teaching people how to do VoIP.
Yep. All right. So, Eric, again, thank you for being on the show. Folks, we've been talking with Eric Thomas, the original founder and CEO of Freedom Voice, currently the Vice President of Business Development and reseller channel with GoDaddy. Eric, thank you very much. I do want to say thank you to Paul Mendiola, my sales rep, for reaching out and making this interview possible. And Eric, if people want to get in touch with you, you're a CEO, you're a pretty busy guy, but do you want people getting in touch with you directly?
Sure, absolutely. Always glad to help people.
All right. So we'll put your contact information there. You want them to contact you by email, a link on the webpage?
Yeah, email's good. I think email's the best.
Okay. So folks, I will put his email in there. And if you want to reach out to him, go to the show note on the webpage and reach out and thank him for putting together such a great little company. All right. So, Eric, thank you again. I'm going to put you back in the green room so I can end off on some show notes and announcements. And
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All righty, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Eric Thomas with Freedom Voice. And again, I do want to say thank you to Paul Mendiola. And I do want to, again, remind everybody to go to the show note and click on the GoFundMe link to help Eric Ardini and his family during this time. Folks, donate what you can. Please, I've already given a donation on behalf of Podnuts Pro, and I hope that you all will go and support him and do the same. Be sure to check out our sponsor, Calyptid Security. I will put the link in the show note that will get you $100 when you sign up for a demo and get that $100 off your first order, calyptids.com/pod. As always, if you want to provide any other support to Podnuts Pro, go to the Amazon link that is in the show note. It will take you to Amazon, but if you click that link first, anything that you purchase will be the same price to you, but a small little percentage will come back and provide a little commission for me to continue to do things on the show. If you want to email suggestions for the show, any tips or stories, comments, complaints, whatever, send them to marvin@podnutspro.com. And you can follow us on the Twitter with the, I don't know if this is a hashtag, but it's the @podnutspro on Twitter. So I do put stuff out on there and would appreciate you guys doing that. Also going out to wherever the show is and clicking a like button to keep us going in the feeds and stuff. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. Again, I want to thank my guest, Eric Thomas. And folks, you guys go out there, make money, be happy. And until next time, holla.